last gathering of 2024. And he's been so good.
So good.
So good. Everything about today is just another, to me, representation of what he's has done and is doing, pouring himself out upon his people to equip us. It's not just for us to have some exciting experience in his presence. That's awesome that we get to do that, that we get to enjoy him and jump and praise and wave our hands and shout and all dance, all those things. But that's our expression to him of our gratitude for him for allowing us to get up close with him. And you know, beginning of this year, this graphic on the screen just represents 52 weeks of the Word of God. The Word of God being presented in this place, I actually made copies. If anybody, I don't know, sometimes people like things like that. If you want a copy of it, it has every graphic that was made for 52 weeks, and it just represents when the Word of God goes out. You know, the Scriptures tell us that the Word of God is living and it's active. And the Word of God has gone out of here 52 weeks and more than that, because we have other gatherings during the week. But the word, when the Word of God goes out, the Scripture says it's not going to return void. It's going to accomplish something. And, you know, one of the things that we keep saying whenever we're gathering, whether it's men's prayer on Saturday mornings, whether it's, you know, a youth lock-in, whether it's a Wednesday night class, whether it's, I don't know, working, seeing the pantry operate, you know, he's in everything, and he's showing up, and we just keep experiencing his increase over and over and over and over and over again. And so today's gathering is really just, the title of this is We went and we told, we did what we were instructed to do at the very beginning of the year. Our word was go and tell. That graphic that's right in the middle there, go and tell, and you see flyers all around the building with expressing that. And so when you do what you're told to do, Holy Spirit loves to say, you've done what I've told you to do. If you're faithful with the little things, he'll give you more to do, and he keeps giving us more to do. He keeps giving us more opportunities to say yes to him, more opportunities in the course of everyday life to say yes to him. And that's today's service, today's lesson is really just about the reminders of your yeses, the reminders of as the word went forth, we were challenged week by week to not settle for yesterday's grace, to not settle for yesterday's word, to not settle for yesterday's assignment, but to be expecting more opportunities, and he continues to give us more and more opportunities. From, you know, beginning, Pastor Shane started the year last year, and then I introduced the go and tell word. And then, you know, the go and tell word has just continued to come full circle. Christmas Eve, Julie up there saying, go tell, in the choir singing, go tell, go tell, go tell. What was the one line? I wrote it down here. The one line in that song said, once you see that shining star, you can't keep it to yourself. Yeah, once you've experienced Jesus, once you've experienced Jesus, you can't keep it to yourself. You can't keep it to yourself. This young lady over here received Jesus at the lock-in. She's not going to be able to keep this to herself. Her whole family is in the room today. Her whole family is in the room today. Yeah. I'm going to have Pastor Shane come on down right now. Just to give us just a little bit of a window into, so he's done lock-ins for how many years, but just to give us a little bit of a window into into what your experience was this weekend.
Yeah, is this on?
I think, is this up?
Can you hear anything?
Test.
Did I turn it off? I may have turned it off. Sorry, I did.
Now you can hear me.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yeah, I think this might be like maybe the eighth lock-in that I've put on, and no doubt the very best one, just because of what we experienced there. You know, I woke up Friday morning, and there was this song in my head by Mercy Culture Music, and it just repeats over and over again. It says, it's only by your spirit. It's only by your spirit. And the gospel is really simple.
Yes.
And the power of God is really simple. It's really not complicated. The whole reason we put on lock-ins is for the simple fact that we know that there are going to be kids that show up that otherwise maybe never would be here, and maybe don't know the Lord. And we know that we're going to have 11 hours to plant seeds. And we, to be honest with you, I don't go in with this expectation. I go in with a hope that there will be salvations and these moments of awakening, but I don't go in with necessarily an expectation that I'm going to see everything change just like that. My expectation is that we're going to scatter seeds, and the Lord will do what He will do. And we trust that if a kid, we share the gospel with a kid, that the Lord's word will not return void. We may not see it in a moment, but His word will not return void. So that's why that's the whole reason we do lock-ins, just to have an extended amount of time with kids that might not know the Lord to share the gospel with them. And I've had a ton of really radical experiences over the years doing these lock-ins, but this one was by far the most radical. Pastor Jeff had mentioned filling up the baptismal. He's like, I'm going to have it filled up for Sunday, so I'm going to have
it's ready. It's ready.
Yeah, he said, I'm going to have it filled up for the lock-in just in case. And I'm thinking like, ain't nobody getting baptized at a lock-in. You know what I mean? That doesn't happen. And then Lori messaged me and said, hey, Journey wants to get baptized at the lock-in. This Journey over here. Journey wants to get baptized at the lock-in, you know, and Journey had gotten saved, and he has an incredible story. And I said, well, that's great, because the water's, it's going to be filled up. We'll do it at the lock-in. And we start every lock-in with just really simply, we have a little time of worship, and I share like 10 minutes of just the gospel. It really is simple. It wasn't an elaborate message. It was a little bit of my testimony intertwined with the gospel, and which my testimony is the gospel.
Yes.
I shared a little bit of that for 10 minutes, and then we just offer kids that maybe have never received Jesus before to stick around. And I had mentioned that Journey was going to get baptized. And some of the kids went to the gym to kind of hang out, and the kids that wanted to stay stayed. And I was standing up front, and one of the girls, her name was Sydney, she came up and she was crying, and she said, I want to get baptized today. And I'm like, okay, all right, we're going to do two baptisms. And I, you know, what's cool is I asked her, I said, have you accepted Jesus in the past, or is today the day? And she said, today I'm accepting Jesus. And so I said, all right, then... I said, then we'll baptize you today. And then it wasn't maybe a couple minutes later, Savannah came up, and Savannah, tears streaming down her face, she says, I want to get baptized today. And I said, we'll do it today. So we had three baptisms at our lock-in, and it was just miraculous. And it really, it has nothing to do with me. I mean, praise God, we have the best team of young adults you could ever imagine to host one of these lock-ins. I really have, the easiest job out of all of them. Logan and Isaac run the show, and I'm just kind of like in the background, you know? I wander around. I'm like the old guy that wanders around during the lock-in. Nobody really knows what he's doing. I'm just looking for people to share Jesus with. But no, we have an awesome group of young people, but it really was amazing. It really is simple. It has nothing to do with me. It's the Holy Spirit had set this moment and this date from the beginning of time. He knew that these young people were going to be here, and that He was going to show Himself to them. And all we had to do was step in and share a simple gospel message to maybe kids that had no idea that they were coming in to meet the Lord.
Yes.
And yet,
amen.
There He was.
So. Amen. Amen. That's awesome. Thank you. Thank you. It had everything to do with having a walk-in for the simple purpose of going and telling, of going and telling. I'm gonna go back to the original scripture that I shared at the beginning of the year, where this assignment emerged. It's from the Gospel of Luke. And of course, Jesus and the disciples are traveling all around the area, just ministering to people, sharing the gospel. And here's we're going to pick up in verse 26 of chapter 8 of Luke. They sailed to the region of Gerasenes, which is across the lake from Galilee. When Jesus stepped ashore, he was met by a demon-possessed man from the town. For a long time, this man had not worn clothes or lived in a house, but had lived in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell at his feet, shouting at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High?" And, you know, I'm going to pause there for a minute because I'm absolutely convinced that the way Holy Spirit is moving among his people, that because Jesus is in us and we're seated with him in heavenly places, and we've been hearing about this all year, because the power of Jesus is in us wherever we go, we're going to begin to have some experiences like this where people who are living in darkness, people who are trapped in a mental situation where they're just going to, because they're in the presence of Jesus, by being in the presence of his people, that they're going to cry out and say, what do you want from me? And we're going to be able to see Jesus on the spot, set them free. So when he saw Jesus, he cried out at the top of his lungs, "What do you want from me, Son of the Most High? I beg you, don't torture me." For Jesus had commanded the impure spirit to come out of the man. Many times it had seized him, and though he was chained hand and foot and kept under guard, he had broken his chains and had been driven by the demon into solitary places. And Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" Legion, he replied, because many demons had gone into him. They begged Jesus repeatedly not to order them to go into the abyss. A large herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside. The demons begged Jesus to let them go into the pigs, and he gave them permission. When the demons came out of the man, they went into the pigs, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. When those tending the pigs saw what had happened, they ran off and reported this in the town and countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone out, sitting at Jesus' feet, dressed in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it had told the people how the demon-possessed man had been cured. Then all the people of the region of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them because they were overcome with fear. So he got into the boat and left. And the man from whom the demons had gone out begged to go with him, but Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return home and tell how much God has done for you." So the man went away and told all over town how much Jesus had done for him. And so it's from that place that our assignment to go and tell what Jesus has done for you. Now, it might not be as dramatic as that, but we have some pretty dramatic testimonies of changed lives in this place. And I gave you guys an assignment at the beginning of the year. I don't know if anybody ever did it. Nobody ever came to me and said, "I've done this." But I'm going to remind you what it was because it's not too late to do it. I said, write out a page or more of all that Jesus has done for you. Be both historic and current. Tell him what happened to you maybe all those years ago, but also tell us, what's he doing right now? Put it in a place where you can review it often. Periodically or even daily, pray over the words you wrote, being sure to add thankfulness for what he has done. This is a great assignment for Savannah and for Journey. You know, write down what he's done for you. It'd be awesome. Ask for direction and revelation on when, where, and with whom to share. Add to it as the work in you continues. And so it's an ongoing assignment. You know, and what I love about being able to, one reason I wanted to share some of these things again, because there are a lot of people sitting in this room that were not sitting in this room in January. There's a lot of people that have walked into this room this year, that have become a part of us this year, that the Lord is doing has done a work in and is doing a work in. And we celebrate that. We celebrate that because if we're not doing what he's telling us to do, then what are we doing? You know, again, 52 weeks of the Word of God being shared. I'm a person that loves to. I'm a results guy. I love to see results. I love to see something happen. I love to see tangible growth. Anybody that's been here for any length of time knows I love to talk about this person grew, this person grew, this person's growing, this person's growing. And Pastor Shane mentioned, he says, it's all about simple obedience. I talked about that last week. There's a whole title of my message was Simple Obedience. And I think about just the baptism took place at the lock-in, all in response, you know, I don't know, several months ago now, Sherry, wave your hand, Sherry, gave just a word to me, sent me a word, said, hey, I believe we need to have the baptism already for the end of the year for baptisms. And, you know, we usually schedule baptisms, and we, you know, we'll say we're having a baptism on this date. And we had, I think, at least three other ones this year where we scheduled baptisms at the lake. And I think we may have had one upstairs as well, another one upstairs as well before this. And so she said that, and we said, again, it was one of those things where the Lord keeps saying, say yes to my assignment. So we said yes. We said yes. And so, you know, every week for the, you know, for the last 6 weeks of the month, except for last week, we had the baptism up and ready. And initially we had nobody scheduled. I announced that very first week. The baptism is up and ready to go, and we end up baptizing six people that Sunday morning. And then the next week three, and the next week more week three, and the next week two. And so, and then as we were preparing for the last week of the year, I said, I want to have it up again, ready for the last Sunday of the year. And I said, because they're having you're having a lock-in, we might as well just have it ready for that. And I say this all because it was just a simple instruction that one of our people had and said, I think we need to do this. And so we said, yes, let's do this. And then the Lord takes it from there and says, okay, yeah, I got people lined up. I'm going to bring two people into the lock-in that have never been here before. We have a baptismal form we have everybody fill out before they get baptized. And it says on there, how long have you been at Abundant Life? And the one said, never. And the one said, today. Both walked into the building for the very first time and left as followers of Jesus. And again, you know, we've heard that already, but it's just another reminder of the simplicity of just obeying an instruction, because we've been told, go and tell. He's giving us instructions all along the way about what he wants us to do. As all we have to do is keep saying yes to it. It's interesting. You know, last year, and I've said this several times throughout this year, you know, when the Lord gives us a word, go and tell, you know, you never know where it's going to land. And, you know, honestly, and I've said this a couple times this year, after last year, our word was invite the stranger. And again, if anybody that hasn't heard this account, just real quickly, we put out the word invite the stranger in January, and 3 weeks later, three weeks later, there was a train derailment in East Palestine, and we were asked 2 days after that derailment happened if we would open as the assistance center for the train derailment. And so for five months, pretty much every day for 5 months, our building was inundated with strangers that we got to love on, care for. And so after last year, after this amazing word and this amazing, you know, amazing opportunity we had, you kind of think, okay, what can possibly, and the words aren't compete, word doesn't compete with itself, so it's not like we have to try to measure up to something, but in my back of my mind, I'm thinking, man, that was an amazing word, what are you going to do this year? And this go and tell word has just, there is such a simplicity about it. We overcomplicate things sometimes. And my thing throughout the whole year was, if you have the thought in your mind to open your mouth to share with somebody, just do it. Just do it. Don't talk yourself out of it. Don't figure out what you're going to say. Don't figure out all the parameters. Don't figure out, you know, what the reactions might be. Just go and do it. And so, you know, as as this, the end of the year was coming to the close, and you know, we had an amazing, amazing Christmas Eve time, as we always do. It was, honestly, I think it was just off the charts, with just the intimate presence of Jesus in this place. And as I was contemplating the end of this year and the kind of the end of this being our word, although it seems like every word carries over to the next year in some way, we never leave them go because it's the word. But part of me was like, I don't want this word to end. And Connie actually asked me yesterday. She said, "Are you a little sad? Are you gonna cry today?" I said, "Well, I don't know if I'm gonna cry or not. That's always unknown." But there was a bit of a sadness to leave this word behind, because I think part of it for me was because it's just not complicated. Pastor Don said this. Our founding pastor said this all the time. Just tell your story. Tell your story. You don't have to have a recitation on theological truths about salvation. Tell your story about what Jesus did for you. And that is just so uncomplicated, because it's your story. No one can dispute your story of your walk with faith, how it began, how it has continued, how it has grown, and what he's doing now. Because I'll just add this to that what he's doing now part, because that is so important. And one of the things that when I first became a Christian, I used to hear people give their testimonies. I'd hear, 30 years ago, Jesus did this in my life, which is awesome that he did that 30 years ago, but what's he doing now? What's he doing now? Because he never stops working. He never stops working. And so, go and tell. You know, it's interesting, three of the flyers up here on the flyer. One was this is from Bobby. Go therefore, tied specifically to this go word. Go therefore. Pastor Mark had one, said, "You will be my witnesses. You will be my witnesses." Pastor Ben had one. "Here am I. Send me. Here am I. Send me." And then we had just multiple kinds of messages that just challenged us and challenged us and challenged us. Just growth that happened in this place. You know, I have written all kinds of things from what happens in your small group when you gather for a small group. We had a women's Bible study started this year. We had a teenage Bible study start this year. Men's prayer reemerged this year on Saturday mornings at Pastor Shane's house, and that will resume again this coming Saturday, 6:30 at his house. If you're a man and you want to know where that is, let one of us know. We'll tell you. When they were doing the lock-in this weekend, we didn't have men's prayer, but because the men gathered to cook breakfast for the teenagers, and so we tell everybody we're not having men's prayer, but if you want to come help with the breakfast, 20 men showed up. You don't need 20 men to put on a breakfast, but 20 men showed up just to be part of that. And again, it was just people saying yes to the word, and yes to fellowship, and yes to shoring one another up, serving one another. And don't ever think that we're ever just doing things to do things. Holy Spirit is always kind of working in the midst of all of this, just interweaving his presence in the middle of it, changing us and molding us and making us more like him. And that happens every time we gather. I mean, I just have the value of the Belonging Conference. I still think of the Women's Belonging Conference where J.P. Snyder's wife, Jocelyn, received healing on her eyes. This was a dramatic, supernatural healing on her eyes that she has been back several times. They don't even live around here. She'll sometimes drive from Columbus area to be here just to worship with us. And she's told of the account of supernatural healing on her eyes. And so just the value of planning an event, sometimes with our own thoughts about what it might look like, but then God. the Holy Spirit invades and does something supernatural, does something that we hadn't expected, and a life gets changed because of it, and multiple lives get changed because of it. And I wrote down everything from, you know, work at the food pantry, the work of the EEC, the work of Remnant, the work of just every outreach event we get to do in the community and beyond, Wednesday classes, the work of the Jubilees, women's Bible study, youth Bible study. And then around August, we had opportunity to host the Healing Summit. It was a healing summit that was going on at another church in Ohio, but it was being broadcast throughout the world, and the event at the location was sold out. And again, Sherry asked, she says, could we be one of the host churches for this? And so we became a host church for it, and I am convinced that things happened that night that will forever change the trajectory of how we're functioning. So much ministry went on, and teaching about previous moves of God and how the mantle of some of those leaders in that day were being downloaded in God's people today. And I'm convinced that the downloads took place in this room in many of God's people that evening. And I'll testify, I'm one of them, that I have functioned in a whole different, I'm still me, but I functioned with a kind of a new zeal of praying for supernatural things in ways that I had never done before, with absolute confidence that Jesus is the answer. And so saying yes to these words as they're presented to us is an ongoing ministry, and we're going to keep hearing about that. You know, we had a pivotal morning here. On August 25th. Pastor Ben was speaking that morning, and we had a worship service, was like today. I mean, it's just another one of those, you know, you can barely walk, you can barely think, you can barely speak, if you're letting him do the work in him. And it was one of those moments. And Pastor Ben, the message that morning was called Backdraft, and it was all about just this convergence of things in the spirit realm that just, where those explosions take place. And Pastor Ben got up here, though, after worship, at the very beginning of his message, before he even ever spoke his message, he got up and he said, we have crossed the Jordan. We have crossed the Jordan today, and we are not going back. We're not going back. And we haven't. We're not going back. We're not going back to life as normal. Not that normal was bad, you know, but he's just continuing to pour out spirit, increasing measure, and we're walking in that. We're walking in that. And the reality is, as he's doing these things, people keep telling people, go and tell, about what he's doing. And that's how the gospel gets spread. That's how disciples get to be born into the kingdom of God, is you just telling about what Jesus has done and what he is doing. And so that happened. We're not going back, and then really ever since then, we've just had these teachings, being seated with him in heavenly places, heaven's frequency, which Pastor Shane brought, yes, Lord, take up your positions, looking into his face, the mind of Christ, dunamis power, and more and more and more. And one of the things that excites me, and I've said this already, watching a people grow is my favorite thing to do. Watching a people go from point A to point B to point C, and wondering what point D is going to look like, whatever point on that spectrum you are, the work isn't done. Know that the work isn't done. If you're in this room today and you think, well, you know, I'm good. There's always more. There's always more. There's always more, and it's all he wants from us is to be submitted vessels, bowed down vessels. It's not hard. I'm not saying life can't be hard at times. I am not in any way. I don't want anybody sitting here thinking, yeah, but you don't know what's going on in my life. You don't know my story. I don't know everybody's story. I don't know everybody. I don't know what everybody's dealing with day by day by day. But I know Jesus, and I know he wants to be involved in the details of what's going on in the everyday, even when it's tragic, even when it's challenging, even when there's unknowns and there's uncertainties and there's... We're not talking about living a perfect, pristine life. Life is messy. Life is messy. But we have a Savior that loves to show up in the middle of messes and say, I will help you. I will help you to clean that up if you will submit to me. If you'll just follow me. If you'll just follow me. If you'll just listen to me. Oh, my goodness. It's already after 12. Oh, my word. I wrote this down, and I'm just going to say, I'm just going to read what I wrote. Standing here today, I'm reiterating to you that you have a team. You know, if you, again, somebody, some, there's people here the first time. Savannah's family's here for the first time. So glad they're in the room. That you have a team of pastors and teachers here who are committed to sharing weekly the enduring and unaltered Word of God. We're never going to defray, or never going to steer away, never going to water down the Scriptures, because it is the living and active Word of God, and it's that truth that reaches to the bone and the marrow. The Scripture says it gets inside, and that's where transformation begins to take place when we speak the Word of God. It's why you know, today we speak Jesus. We're speaking the Scriptures. We're speaking Jesus. We're speaking Jesus. So we're going to share the active and living God with seriousness, devotion, faithful application, and fervency. And because of that, we continue to grow. Growth is represented all around this room today. All around this room today. If you see somebody you don't know, introduce yourself. Say how, you know, find out who that person is that you don't know, because there's a whole lot of people here, as I said, that weren't here at the beginning of the year. So real quickly, I'm just going to look at a couple things. So as I was looking at scriptures, I love to be able to read the word and say, yeah, that's happening in your people. That's happening in us. So in Ephesians, Paul says this: as a prisoner for the Lord, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you've received. Many of you this year stepped up that level of living according to the calling you've received. Many of you. I have observed this, and I think I may have even said this last week, but one of the things I love about men's prayer is that there's not just one demographic represented there. We have from as young as six-year-old Easy, Pastor Shane's son, to teenagers, to 20-somethings, to 30-somethings, to 40-somethings, to 50-somethings, to 60-somethings, to 70-somethings, to 80-somethings. Showing up at men's prayer. And so there's a whole lot of people, and that's just one small thing. That's not men's prayer isn't the end all. This is just men coming together, obeying what they're instructed to do. But what's happening is people are, because of that, they're living the life worthy of the calling they've received. That's just part of the equation of obeying the Scripture. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Boy, we're called upon to do that all the time. We don't know from day to day what someone's situation is going to be, what besetting situation may come upon someone's life. And when that happens, we come alongside and say, we're going to love you through this. We're going to stay. We're not going anywhere. We're going to see you through it. And we learn as we go. We don't ever do this perfectly. We learn as we go. Be patient, bearing with one another. Make every effort to keep unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There's one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given to us as Christ apportioned it. So Christ gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. So we've seen the fivefold being functioning over and over again in increasing measure among us. It's functioning. All five of those positions are in operation here. And the purposes of it is very clear, and we get to do this, to equip God's people for works of service. Connie and I had opportunity Friday night to meet a friend of mine from college, was in town and wanted to have dinner with us. And so, it's a female, and so obviously I'm not meeting alone with a female from college. Connie has become very much important to Melinda. And so we had dinner with her, and one of the first things she asked me, and it kind of startled me because it startled me a little bit because I didn't really know how to answer the question except tell the truth. But she said, I really want to hear about your war stories about being a pastor. And I was like, I really don't have too many. Yeah, well, she meant just war stories of being a pastor and all the struggles that go along with that. And I'm not saying there's never any struggles. I'm not saying this is a cakewalk job. But because we are extremely blessed, and this is always my answer when someone asks me about just the trials and tribulations of being a pastor, it's like we have such an amazing team of people, a growing team of people. Pastor Shane even said, just the team of people that helps to put together the lock and that takes the weight off of him. I function like that 24/7 in this body because so many people come alongside of us. Because our assignment as pastors is to equip all of you to do what you're supposed to do, to do your part. And what's so awesome about that is so many people have come alongside to just do their part, and the load just keeps getting shared and shared and shared and shared. And as more people come in and take their part, take their assignment, the load gets even lighter, even though the volume of people that we're ministering to gets bigger. And the whole goal here is so that the body of Christ may be built up. And honestly, oh my goodness, as I look around this room, the body of Christ continues to just get built up, built up, built up, built up, built up. He is building up his body. Why? Because there's going to be a conclusion to life at some point as we know it. And we get to be part of purveyors of a very important message. Jesus is coming back. We're telling that. But what As that begins to unfold in even greater measure, the built-up body of Christ is going to absolutely be essential in the last days. And so we get to be part of doing this work until we all reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of God. So, yeah, we can't wait to watch Savannah just grow in her understanding of the principles in her young life, to be able to witness to the people around him, to her peers, to her classmates, to whoever is in her sphere of influence, and then seeing her begin to attain the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So then we'll no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves, blown here and there by every wind of teaching, by the cunning and craftiness of people and their deceitful scheming. Instead, and this is what we get to do over and over and over again, speaking the truth in love, speaking the truth in love, speaking the truth in love. We can and will love anybody. The world will tell you we won't. But that's a lie. We have seen it. We've seen that. We've had opportunities over and over again to love all manner of despicable person, of which many of us were. Amen. We don't forget where we came from. That's right. To speak the truth in love, and because of that, we will grow. We will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each one does its part. We've experienced that this year. You've done this. You've done this. You've done this. All right. A couple more. Philippians. For to me to, this, again, this is the words of Paul. These are the words of Paul. To me to live is Christ, to die is gain. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I'm torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far, but is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain. I will continue with all of you. I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in faith, so that my My being with you again, your boasting in Christ Jesus will abound on account of me. So we continue to carry out the assignments that He has for us, knowing that we're going to see progress. We're going to see progress in ourselves, but we're also going to see progress in that person that either just received Jesus or is new to, relatively new to the faith, or has said yes to some new assignment that was scary, but they stepped into it. And then we get to watch and encourage that growth as they step into these things. You know, it's funny. This morning during worship, Becky came up to me and she said, "I have a weird idea. I have a weird thought. The women are praying at 11:20 every day for Asher. Can we pause today at 11:20 and have prayer for Asher?" I said, "Oh my goodness, of course we can. Of course we can. What an awesome! I love how God just uses His people." He just uses His people to say, "Hey, let's put hands to action. You know, why not do this? You know, on Sunday morning when we're all here gathered together." So I love as Holy Spirit downloads ideas that you think are weird or strange or unusual, as long as they don't go against Scripture, we're going to listen to it and consider, "Oh, Lord, is that something we're supposed to do?" So. Pay attention to these things. And Philippians again, this is my prayer, Paul says, that your love may abound more and more, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness, filled with the fruit of righteousness. Doing right things has fruit that follows, filled with the fruit of righteousness. I think sometimes we may have a view, and I don't know how many of us in this room would have this view, but we maybe at one time had this view that following the ways of Jesus, that's kind of, we'll just become a stick in the mud, or that's just a bunch of rules, or that's just a bunch of this. No, following Jesus is the way to freedom. It's the way to freedom, the freedom that you will never experience anywhere else. You may think that your freedom to sin is liberating. It is not. It's bondage. It is bondage. And when we come to the place where I don't need that anymore, I don't need it anymore, and begin to see the fruit of righteousness. Oh my goodness, I did the right thing because Jesus said, "Do the right thing." How much better that is. How much freeing that is for our minds. We sang so much today about speaking Jesus to anxiety, speaking Jesus to depression, speaking Jesus to addiction. You know, we're not just wanting to settle for lip service to that. We want to actually see it manifested. But we have to obey. We have to obey. One more. This is the whole chapter of Timothy. It's not a long chapter. 1 Timothy chapter 4. The Spirit clearly says in later times, some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. And I, when I saw it, I thought, this is really, really important. Don't you be one of them. Don't you be one of them. Because none of us is exempt from the possibility that we'll be led astray, that we'll somehow be led astray by some emotional response to a terrible situation, from wanting to go back to some behavior that I had in my past because for right now that just feels good. Don't allow that to happen. The Spirit clearly says in later times, we are in later times, some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving things. Such teachings come through hypocritical liars whose consciences have been seared as with a hot iron. They forbid people to marry and order them to abstain from certain foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and who know the truth. For everything God created is good. Nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving because it is consecrated by the word of God and by prayer. If you point these things out to the brothers and sisters, you will be a good minister of Christ Jesus, nourished on the truths of the faith, of the good teaching that you have followed. Have nothing to do with godless myths or old wives' tales. Rather, train yourselves to be godly. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things. All things, all things, all things. Holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. This is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. That is why we labor and strive, because we've put our hope in the living God. We've put our hope in the living God, who's the Savior of all people, especially of those who believe. Command and teach these things. Don't let anyone look down on you because you're young, but set an example for the believers in speech. Here's the assignment right here. And here's the assignment that many of you have done, but it's also the assignment for us today. Set the example for the believers in speech, what you say, in conduct, how you behave. Set the example in love, never losing sight of the love of Jesus, the love of Jesus who empowers you to be able to do it the right way. In love, in faith, it's all about faith. We don't always see everything in faith. Faith is not about sight. It's about believing, because we're convinced that he loved us and died for us and we're going to follow him. And impurity, unpolluted by some mixture with the world and its systems. Until I come, devote yourselves to the public reading of Scripture, preaching, teaching. Don't neglect your gift, which was given you through prophecy when the body of elders laid their hands on you. Be diligent in these matters. Be diligent in these matters. You've done this. You've done this. This is part of what you've done in 2024. You've been diligent in these matters, giving yourself wholly to them so that everyone might see your progress. I wish I could go around the room today and say, man, I've seen progress in you. Man, I've seen progress in you. And just be able to tell a little account of the progress in each one of you, because I've seen so much progress in us as a body. Watch your life and doctrine closely, persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. Your hearers. That second part of that equation is so, so important. This is not just about you and your walk. There's people who are listening to what you say. There's people who are watching what you do. And again, we fall short. I get that. I am not dumping hot coals on anybody to bring them into shame or condemnation for mistakes made. We've all made them. We're all on a journey. We're all on a journey together. And so if one falls, we pick them up. We pick them up. And we'll help see you through until you can have what you need to stand. Ah. Mike Glick, come on up. Mike had this word a few weeks ago, and we were kind of waiting to see when the right time was to share, and it never came about. And he messaged me yesterday, and he said, I really believe this word is relevant for us as we cross from one year into the next. And so I believe it's relevant. It's relevant to going and telling, and just part of being obedient to Holy Spirit downloading this word into him. And I believe it's relevant for where we're going in 2025. I will be unveiling our word for 2025, not next week. Pastor Shane will be up next week, but the week after. We believe this is something that we need to pay attention to. So this is Mike Glick.
Hi. How are we doing?
Well. Oops, sorry.
Sorry, I got it.
I gotta stay there.
Okay, I'm going to share this word. It's kind of loud.
It is loud.
Okay.
You can pull it back. You can pull it back if you need to.
I'm going to share this word. I'm going to read it to you. But I was driving down the road the other day, and a sign caught my eye, and it says no turnaround.
No turnaround.
And then God was speaking to me about this. Man, we've been learning that in church. Don't no turnaround. We're not going to turn back. You know, have you ever thought about turning back? You know, this life that we live in Christ, sometimes it gets kind of hard. And we just, I don't want to go back like the Israelites. They wanted to go back, because at least they were getting fed and that kind of thing. But we have to go on. God has something planned for us. We have to move on. We have to continue to engage, right?
Yes.
We can't stay back. We have to continue. God's really been speaking to me about this. You know, we operate out of heaven, you know.
Yes.
Like what Jeff was sharing about, we're seated with him in heavenly yes. places. We are seated with, we have to continue to engage from that place.
Yes.
We have to continue to go on and not hang back and settle on our leads. We've got to go. There's a pressing in. Yes. We press toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We've got to continue. Yes. We got to continue. And I'm just going to read this. The Lord would say today that I am about to reveal my glory in a marvelous way. And God gave me that word, marvelous. For it is now my time, in my timing, that my glory will be revealed in your midst. It's the timing of the Lord. You shall be greatly encouraged. You shall be greatly encouraged, for I will pour out my I will pour out my presence upon you, and my glory shall be seen on you. And behold, the glory, behold, the spirit of the fear of the Lord shall be manifested among you, and I shall do mighty deeds through you. The awe and wonder of what I'm about to do, the wonder of what I am about to do among you will be great, and many shall come to know me. And the weight of my glory shall be such that some may be unable to minister because of the heaviness of it. I really believe that.
Yes.
My power and my glory shall be relentless, touching people's lives and healing and bringing salvation to the lost.
Yes.
There will be those who have experienced sickness for years and not believe God could heal them, but then to come to church and realize that my power is real, and therefore they will be healed, spirit, soul, and body.
Yes, thank you, Jesus.
Yes, there will be such an overwhelming respect for me and what I'm about to do, that I will be able to quickly accomplish many signs, wonders, and miracles. I will not hold back my mighty power, but will aggressively execute it without measure. And you will greatly rejoice in my presence, says the Lord, for those eyes that were once blind now see, those ears that were once deaf now hear, those tongues that were now once dumb now speak, those legs that were once lame now walk, and those minds that were once bound now set free.
Yes.
I believe that.
Yes.
And my Holy Spirit will continue to do mighty things among you, and he will be unstoppable. He will be as a freight train coming down the tracks, and the demonic hordes trying to stop it are going to completely destroy it.
Woo!
I believe that. Yes, I am moving in great speed, says the Lord. Nothing shall be able to withstand my power to perform signs and wonders. Because of your prayers and intercessions, and I really felt that, because of your prayers and engaging in intercession, I will persist until I see the defeat of my enemies, says God. Yes, victory shall be in the camp of the righteous, and you shall exceedingly praise me and worship me for what I will do in these days, amen. Says the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Awesome. It's awesome. It's awesome. Just the freight train part of that with the darkness coming full circle to the scripture we read about the demoniac. We're coming face to face with real life situations that freedom is on the horizon. It's on the horizon. Let's stand. Lord, we thank you that just from that word, just you're already pouring out your glory on us, equipping us, demonstrating your power, demonstrating your provision. But yeah, if you're telling us you're bringing it an even greater measure. We say, Lord, we're ready. We're ready. We want to be those vessels that are ready for whatever you have next for us, whatever other assignments we have. Lord, I want to just pause even briefly here to say thank you that we have a body where there are so many young people. I just remember my mother-in-law years ago saying, how many young people come to that church? Many places of worship are hungering for the next generation. And we have no lack of young people that are hungry for you. So I pray blessing. Pray blessing on this demographic that is affecting a whole generation for your kingdom. Lord, I pray that each one of us will still go and tell. We'll still go and tell. That we'll still write down our stories of what you've done. I thank you for every step of obedience that was taken this year, for every word represented on this flyer of your word going forth, every teaching. That they're still producing fruit for your kingdom. I pray as we go out of here today and as we have celebrations into the new year this week, that you will be present at those gatherings. I pray that we will, each one of us, submit ourselves to you once again and say, Lord, have your way. Mold us, shape us, keep molding us and shaping us into your likeness. We don't take credit for anything that's been accomplished. You get all the praise. It all began with you and it'll all end with you. We just get to cooperate. I pray blessing on every household represented in this room today. That your blessing and your provision and your presence will be manifested in households all in this region, all around this region, wherever it is that we reside, that you will reside there with us. I pray as we go out of here today that we will go out in the name and the power of Jesus. And again, that word from Mike, that we will see more opportunities to lay hands on the sick and see them made well for the person whose eyes are blind or ears are stopped up or limbs are paralyzed. That by your name, by your hand, freedom, healing, restoration. It'll all be for your praise. It'll all be for your glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If anybody needs prayer, still if anybody wants to get baptized, let me know. We can still do that today. But the altars are open.